Hey everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Welcome everyone back to episode 40 of the Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks podcast. If you're new and joining us, of course, we are so glad you're here, but you're joining us at the end of this game. We're at the end of 9. If you want to start it at the very beginning, you need to go back to episode 6. You can binge listen. I don't know what you need to do, but if you want to kind of like start off at the beginning of the game, that is where you're going to go. We only have probably a couple more episodes left in 9. And so last episode, we kind of laid it out that there are like the end game enemies or the end game kind of like last zones or bosses or whatever. We'll probably hit it next episode, I would imagine. There's not a whole lot left. And so if you're kind of still waiting on that stuff, well, we apologize. But, you know, hey, we got like 15 bosses to go through today. So, you know, there you go. All right, man. Exactly. Let's hop into it. So where we left off was we were at that kind of Alexandria part where we had the castle in the background. And it was, it was Iko's daggers and Zidane's memory. And we saw the destruction of it and all that. And then actually the very, very last thing we did was we head back to Limblum and we did that that side quest. Now, Alex, I literally, right before we started recording here, we had this conversation. We've been calling it Nero, right? Like, Gennaro, Bonero, Zanero. And then we talked about it, we're like, we actually don't know. Is it Nero? Is it Gennaro, Zanero, Bonero? We don't know. So if you've been really angry at us this whole time, you're going to be hearing, I'm warning you now, though. We're kind of saying this because we are going to be saying these names so many times. So if you do go ahead and move forward from that screen, it's just kind of a really small area. We got a couple of these coming up here in Memoria where it's just like next to nothing in some of these and stuff, but it's just kind of like a little staircase that kind of just, I think you go up because I think you're going up this whole entire time. So yeah, it's just kind of wraps around nothing really there at all. It is an interesting spot though. I do really like it because, you know, unfortunately, we don't have infinite amounts of time. We can't just sit here and explain everything and talk about every little detail. That would be fantastic. But of course, most of you would be bored to death and we would be in episode like probably 82 right now. So one cool thing, though, I do like about this man is it's got a bunch of floating stuff.
All of these places are kind of weird. And it's going through this whole situation where they're seeing scenes that they can't understand how they're seeing it, right? Because it's not, they weren't there to have it in their memory. So it's just, you know, I guess this is why they call it Place Memoria, is we're trying to get to the bottom of how the heck they have these memories while they're there, but they weren't actually there, stuff like that. Yeah. So
it is interesting, man, because, yeah, I mean, we think about this and the premise and what Garland told us last episode was, you know, Memoria, Place of Memories, all this stuff is, you know, it's your memories. And it's just, it is kind of interesting, right? Because it's like, you know, this whole location, it changes quite a bit, you know what I mean? Like, and I guess that would make sense. You know, I'm just talking about, like, the style, architecture, and all that kind of different settings here. I mean,
Is it
all from their memories? Or, you know, are there, like, things past, like, for instance, the phantoms that we've been talking about, that they're contributing to the memories also? So it's kind of confusing, to be honest.
It is, yeah. Because, I mean, we're doing our best to try and, like, figure out where these places are. Some are pretty obvious, like, you know, the scene with the castle in Alexandria and things like that. But others, like, you know, the spiral staircase with the floating stuff. I have no idea what that's supposed to be in reference of.
Exactly. I mean, it's cool. My first initial thought I saw it was it kind of looked like the Prima Vista when it crashed, right?
Stuff.
But then you look at the rest of it and it doesn't fit. So anyways, you know, we digress, moving forward. Yeah. You do go to the next screen. So go to the next screen. And it's something kind of really quick because Zidane's just like, it's a storm. And it doesn't seem like much, but actually you can go back to Limblum now. So that was the trigger. You can go back to Limblum. So this is, remember, there are 18 total opportunities for you to go back. Apparently, you, in order to complete it, you only need to hit 9 of them. So this for us, because we're just going back every single time for the initial ones, which I would highly recommend, is number 5. So we're going, you go back to Limbum, right? You go to the theater district, you try to walk into the hideout, and out comes Banera, or Banera, whatever you want to call it. And that, I don't, is that supposed to be like a female one? I don't know, because if you, you know, if we're thinking something similar to like, you know, the Spanish language, you got the, you know, you got the, the words that are based on, you know, your sex and all that kind of stuff. And so maybe it's that, I don't know. That's what I'm just maybe thinking about it. But Banera is looking for Zanero, Banero, Gennaro, Dinero, and Panero. I best go look for him. The hilarious thing with this though, man, is for whatever reason, they always say the two lines, right? They say, where did all these people go? I'm going to go look for them. But now, starting from now on forward, it's so hysterical. There's like a little heart emoji at the end of the census. And it's like, why? What is this? So that kind of makes me thinking a little more, maybe they are the females, you know, or something. But it's just, it's like, okay, that's a little random, you know, whatever.
This is the weirdest, like, side quest thing that I've ever heard of in this game. I've never done this before, so I'm definitely going to give this a try myself.
Oh, it is. It is awesome, especially when you have those modifiers in which you can just ramp up the speed, you know, no battles, hoof it back and forth, no problem. So that is the next little stint in that side quest. Just another thing that's kind of close is there is a Defense Phantom card master. Remember, we were going to kind of tell you about them. We're essentially done talking about cards for the most part. We'll just let you know when these phantoms, because, you know, all these phantoms here, they play very specific cards, very strong cards. And so, you know, again, that's just a really good resource to kind of to figure out which ones have the cards that you need. You can just look it up online.
Basically, you play them a couple times, you'll get a feel for what type of cards they play, and then you can just fill out the collection from there.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, this screen actually has a whole lot of stuff, because if you just go ahead and, you know, move forward, we get some really interesting things, and, you know, we have a lot to kind of talk about in this episode, so we might be going a little long here, everyone, but it's, we're at the end of the game, we kind of have to talk about this stuff. So, Zidane sees a boat and sees someone that's cloaked. Looks like an adult or something, right? And then a small child comes out, and he's just, you know, he's talking like, yo, hold up, what are you doing? Don't go out to sea, like, it's storming, you know? We, of course, we know what this is, right? We know that this is the premise that initial very first scene of the game, you know, where Dagon or her mom are going out, and we know that's how her mom died and all that stuff. And it's interesting because Zidane should have probably remembered this a little bit. He was in the boat with Garnet, you know, there on that stuff. But the whole thing with this though is he's just really confused, like, why did I see that? You know, that's not my memory. Like, I didn't do that. And of course, you know, here comes Dagger, and she's like, she actually didn't say anything to Zidane. It was all internally in her mind, but she's like, you know, that was how could he see it? That was my memory. You know, that she knows exactly what that was. And so, you know, Zidane does what any person does when, you know, they're just talking to a god, essentially, is, hey man, what's up, dude? You know, he's like, Garland, where you at, dude? Yeah. I need some answers. And, you know, Garland's nice enough. He doesn't really help the situation. I think he said that what he feared the most was Gaia's Eidolons, and they had to take care of that problem, is essentially what it is. Doesn't give you any more info than that.
I think it's crazy how, you know, just, it's funny how we're so close to the end of the game, and it's still tying back to that initial scene that you see in the first five... Well, basically in the first minute of even starting a new game. That's crazy to me. It's like, I don't know, it's just a really well-written story, to be honest.
It is.
Because it gives you sort of that sort of foreshadowing scene where you're like, what the heck is going on? And we're still sort of seeing parts of that we hadn't seen before.
Well, like you said, it kind of just keeps tying back. All right, well, great thing is, you can add a hop back to Limbo again. There's 18 spots, so of course they're going to be tied together. So this is number 6 of 9. If you head back to the theater district, head to the door. Out comes Zanera. I'm just going to say she, because I'm just going to say they're girls. She is looking for Zanera, Banero, Gennaro, Dinero, Panero, and Banera.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm going to go look for them. Little heart emojis, everything. So, you know, we'll put a pin in that. Yeah. We'll return to it quite soon, I'm sure. At this point, once you do eventually work back to Memoria and we get to the same location, we're kind of on that bridge stuff, move into the next one, and we get a really cool screen. What, it's kind of like ruins or something, right?
Yeah, it's like a hurricane with the eye up in the sky, basically, that kind of thing. And then it's like what you said, these sort of pillars and ruins, and then a staircase leading up to the eye. But it's really cool that like the clouds are circulating around it like a hurricane or something.
And Garland pipes in again, and he actually now gives a little bit more info. He's like, oh yeah, crap, I gotta talk to him. I totally forgot to tell him what I was gonna tell him, you know. And he's like, and he tells Zidane that whole boat scene that he just seen, he was like, actually, dude, that is your memory. It's not Garnet's. And he says that specifically. And so it's like, what are you talking about, man? You know, it's like, we saw that happen, you know, kind of a deal. And so very confusing. And kind of just a line I put in there that's kind of interesting is that Garland says, once you accept everything, the answer will appear before you. It's pretty interesting stuff. He also talks about kind of a, like there was a strong power coming to Gaia in a time of war. And, you know, they weren't ready for it. Gaia, that is. And so they split the jewel into four pieces. It's just, it's jumping all around here. You know, I mean, if it's confusing, well, I think it's supposed to be. But now Garland is talking to us about that, right? We already knew about this jewel. We've talked about it a couple times, and we already knew it was split into four pieces and stuff. And, you know, I don't know. Hopefully we'll get some more info about that at some point.
But aside from that, if you go off to the left, there's like a little nook that you can find a new weapon for Amaranth, Rune Claws, which is pretty sweet. That's one of his best, if not the best. Right?
I think it is the best, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's really good. Awesome weapon for Amaranth. And, well, I mean, it will come into handy in a second, but you can head back to Limbom right now. So if you take yourself all the way back.
This is crazy.
Go to the door in Theater District. And crazy out comes one. Jannera. So Jannera, he's like, or she's like, hey, where did Jannera, and Jannera go? I'll go look for him. And off
he goes. These guys really need like a cell phone or something like that, you know, or walkie-talkies, something to stay in contact so they don't have to keep saying those people's names.
Yeah.
Dude, where are you guys?
It's great because, you know, of course the text boxes for their, you know, when they come out and say it just keeps getting larger and larger with all the names and stuff, you know, hard emojis. And so we're at 7 out of 9, so we only got two more to go. You head back, though, and you head up to the eye in the sky and the staircase. We now get our next battle. So this is Tiamat. Should look familiar. You know, before we get into it, we'll go ahead and do the steals. 100% is... it's a blood sword. Interesting. Yep. Right? So if you did not get the first one, this is essentially the only other chance you have, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's not a very good sword at this point in the game, but it's missable. So I guess that's the whole point, because its attack power is just garbage at this point.
Oh, yes.
But aside from that, 25% for the feather boots, which again, meh. And then, man, they really made this tough.
Yeah, they did.
Grand Helm is only a 0.39%, so that's pretty rough.
Which I think matches the armor. I think that's exactly both the rates. So... as we discussed last episode, I mean, with all these steals and stuff, it's honestly, it's just up to you at this point. You know, if you never did get the blood sword because you didn't do Stelazio coins, well, you know, here you go, just for the sake of collecting it. And then, yeah, the grand armors in general, I don't think it's worth it, man. Moving through Memoria and finding these bosses, you should definitely be getting enough gil to afford them. So I guess at that point, it's really just if you have the required materials.
Yeah, and it's really not a game changer either. I mean, it's just going to reduce damage a little bit, and then that's it. I mean, it's nothing.
Yeah, especially at this point.
You're not missing abilities.
Yeah. And so I just a little thought I had, because I was fighting this dude, and I was just playing, going through it, having fun, doing the notes, and I was like, wait a second. I was like, this was the dude that Steiner and Vivi fought, right? And I was like, why doesn't Steiner just go out and hold him down again? He did it the first time. I'll hold him down. Vivi, you use your magic. Dude, Steiner, just hold him down, man. We'll fight him.
They were complaining about him moving too much, but he never moves. He doesn't evade anything. He just sits there. So I don't know what they were having a hard time with.
Dude, how hysterical would this battle be like if you couldn't use Steiner? Because in the background of the model, he's just like holding onto like Tiamat's tail or something. He's like, you know, and he's just like wrestling it, you know. Oh gosh, that'd be so hysterical.
Exactly, because you gotta wonder how. Like, I mean, Steiner's about 1/10 of his size or something like that.
He's
so
got three heads, man.
Yeah, like holding his tail, like you said, or something.
Yeah, it's like Shrek against the dragon. But anyways, yes, not too difficult, right? I mean, he does have some interesting abilities, some new ones.
Yeah, and I mean, right off the bat, I think the worst thing that this guy uses, or at least in my experience, the one that always gets me is his
Yes.
Twister. Number one, he's
Twister.
got Twister,
Yeah.
so that's real fun to deal with again. He also has another move called Jetfire that's pretty annoying. It does hits everybody, does a pretty decent amount of
Yeah.
damage, and it can inflict heat. Aside from that, he'll probably mostly spend his time just sitting there using his absorb moves. He uses
Yeah.
absorb MP, absorb magic, absorb strength. I've never even noticed it really doing anything. I like increasing
Dude,
his strength,
yeah,
doing
it must be
anything.
minuscule amounts. That's probably has to use it all the time. But no, yes. So Twister and Jetfire, like Alex just said, I mean, those are gonna probably be, well, I mean, essentially those are kind of like the only real threats. I mean, he does use Silent Claw, which, put it together, it's a physical attack that inflicts silence, possibly. And so that is kind of a single target physical attack, but we already know about Twister. That move's so sucky. And then Jetfire, like you said, yeah, dude, it was doing about 2,000 to 3,000 on mine, so it
That's a
hits enough.
lot.
And then an interesting thing is he will cast Float. It did not happen when I fought him, but he can do it. In this, you might be like, okay, why is he using Float? Well, you dispel it as soon as you can, hopefully.
Yeah, because I had no idea. So he'll counter with Snort, which basically that move sucks. We'll get to that
Yes.
with a little post-game enemy later on, but basically what Snort does is it permanently ejects a character from the battle. You
Yes.
can't revive them, you can't bring them back. So it's pretty bad. So if, like what Mark was saying, if one of your characters gets floated, just use Dispel. Don't attack, because then you're gonna lose that character. It's real bad.
Yes. And an interesting thing too is that apparently he's susceptible to sleep. So I
That's
mean,
weird. Doesn't that show that?
obviously, in any other situation, you wouldn't want to do that, but because you're obviously trying to kill him and attacking him. But I don't know. Let's just say he floats a couple characters, and you're waiting for it to, you can wait it out. You can put it to sleep if you want. Honestly,
Yeah.
I don't think it's really that big of a deal. He's not that difficult. And then something that even makes this way easier is if you have Rosetta Reins on, you should probably have at least a couple of them, and so at least a couple of people will be able to absorb that fire damage from Jetfire and just heal him right up, essentially. So between
Yeah.
that and just having body temp on, I don't think there's really too much to that guy. All
No, not much.
right, well, we are of course going to continue, but we are going to do our bold mo move first. All right, brother, why don't you go ahead and start us off this time?
All right, so I kind of we're always trying to come up with these, and I can't believe I forgot about this one. This is just such an obvious bold move from Final Fantasy VIII.
Okay.
You know the little Chocobo side quest?
Yes.
Well, how about the Choco Boy charging you 700 gil every single time you get your whistle stolen?
Hey, dude. He's trying to buy a
Man,
Mercedes, man. It's
that's what
expensive.
is he? I love that though. It's like, you just
Yeah.
you hit it at the wrong spot, and then the freaking Chikabo or whatever comes out and steals your
Steals the
whistle. It's like,
whistle.
oh,
Yeah.
700 gil.
I know, right? What is he? He opened up a whistle stand there. He's like, ah, oh, this force is good. People losing their whistles all the time. I'll set up a little whistle stand. So he just has what, a bucket of whistles and then a giant treasure chest full of money because he's highway robbery, man.
Yeah, and just the fact that he's just hanging out in the forest by himself the whole time.
Yeah, no
He's
real
at every
point.
forest, he's just
What are you
chilling
doing,
there.
dude?
Yeah.
Go home, work the fields. That is a bold move, man. That's a good one. I like that.
What you got?
All right, well, I'm gonna go to Final Fantasy VII again. And I
Nice.
was thinking about this. I'm like, at the very beginning, right? Very, very beginning. I was like, it kind of was a bold move for especially Barrett, but of course, the other slight comments here and there, for hassling Cloud so much.
Oh, yeah.
Giving him a hard time. Because I say it's a bold move because what if, at that moment Cloud was like, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm out of here. Boom. No more story. Final Fantasy VII's over. Bold move, man.
Seriously, then Barrett would have been the main character, and who knows what would have happened? That
Would
would have been
have
crazy.
used Jesse or something,
Yeah, I
headband
mean,
attack or I don't know.
you got like, that would be so funny if like Wedge and Biggs were actually playable characters
Yeah.
and all that,
Seriously. But I was like, man, they're just giving him a bolt. They hire him to help, and then they just hassle him the whole time. Bold move.
Yeah, seriously.
All right. Well, those are our bold moves for this episode, and let's continue on in Memoria. So after the battle, we're going to move. Nope, actually, you can go back to Limblum. So going back to Limblum, going to the doorway. Zidane jumps back. And now we got Daenerys. And she's like, Daenerys. Where did Zanero, Banero, Gennaro, Daenerys, Panero, Banera, Zanero, and Gennaro go? I'll go look goodness. For him. And so, let's stack it up. Here we go. So that's 8 out of 9. We're almost there. And so we'll see what happens with that on the next one. But essentially, after the boss, if you just kind of move forward, it's really interesting. I don't know what this is supposed to be, man. I don't know if maybe you have a little more insight into this. It's essentially like what? It kind of looks like a town or a castle or a city or something. And now on this specific screen of this area, it's in ruins, right? It's like it's been destroyed. There's fire all over and stuff. I mean, do you happen to maybe know where this is?
I have no idea, but I was thinking about it too because it kind of, I mean, it's sort of like a castle town looking place. You
absolutely.
Know what I mean?
So, yeah, real small alley with tall buildings on the side kind of deal.
It's like a mix between Limblum and Alexandria in a way. Yeah. I don't know. It is really hard to tell because we don't really know where it is. But.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, it's a whole new kind of scene that we haven't seen in Alexandria or Limblum. And that's actually an interesting point because I guess it could be either of them because both of them were attacked at some point and, you know, the memories and stuff. But regardless, nothing really to do here. You just got to head up and you kind of get to like a smaller room. Nothing else here, but there is the Strong Phantom Card Master. So if you want to play some more cards, there you go. A much different scene, though, when you go out the other side. There's greenery, you know, there's stuff growing, the birds are out and singing, you hear church bells, it's all sunny and stuff, and it's just like, what the heck is going on, man? Like, I don't understand any of this.
It's like, really weird, but basically, yeah, you just go up those stairs through the little archways with the bells and all that kind of stuff. Then you get to an even weirder place where it's like sort of a twisting path. You're going like upside down a little bit and you've got these two planets colliding into each other. It's just absolutely epic. I mean, honestly, they really did save the best for the last in this game as far as the visuals.
Yeah. I mean, this place is fantastic. And then, this scene, I mean, because, it's like walkway as usual and it's winding around. But no, and very, very interesting thing. You did, of course, mention the planets that look like they're colliding. And that's what Zidane kind of comments on. But here comes good old Santa Garland. And he kind of gives a little more info talking about how 5,000 years ago was when Terra, you know, Terra was an old planet at that point, and it was looking to assimilate Gaia, you know, and they needed a younger planet to survive. So that's kind of when, here's the time frame for us. Now we know about 5,000 years ago, but he said there was already life on Gaia. So the story began, meaning, and so I guess that's interesting because let's just actually think about this with what info we have right now. So essentially what, this planet is floating through space? Is that what it is? And it's, you know, it's going through its life cycle as a planet. When it dies, it finds another planet and then assimilates it so that way Terra can continue living on. I mean, that's what I'm gathering, at least.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, and we got a little bit of this information back at Terra as well, right? Where they were kind of talking about the assimilation of the two planets and all that kind of stuff. But even after all of this stuff, it's still so confusing.
It's very interesting. He also talked about how like life on Terra was coming to an end. I mean, and so they had no choice. So that's kind of like, I guess the structure of the wording sentence, it kind of seems like usually Terra would pick planets that didn't have life on it, or they got to Gaia, they're like, dude, we got to eat this planet or whatever the heck it happens. And you know, they're like, crap, there's life here. But he's like, man, they had no choice. They had to do it. Terra was coming to an end. So they had no choice. And an interesting thing, though, but it says the fusion destroyed Terra's native civilizations. So it's kind of interesting because obviously when we were at Terra, we already know, you know, the people, the Denzians, whatever, you know, were there. They were in those pods waiting to be woken up. So it's kind of very interesting about this. Why did the fusion, you know, kill Terra's civilization? I mean, that doesn't mean it's like it backfired, almost kind of a deal or something. But he then decided to go ahead and create the Aoife tree to then filter souls back to Terra. So we're kind of getting a little more info here. It's still incredibly confusing. We're stopping in the middle of things and, you know, trying to dissect it as best we can. But yeah, very, very interesting conversation from Garland.
Yeah, seriously. And all goes back to the Aoife tree, as always.
Yeah, it's like the
crazy.
Yeah. All right, well, this is our opportunity to head back to Limblum to finish off this side quest. So this is number 9 of 9 for kind of the side quest, 9 of 18 in total opportunities. So we will continue to give you those just in case you're curious. But go ahead and go back to Limblum. You'll head into the theater district door. And out comes, actually, a tiny little one. I got the screenshot. It's like, it looks like a little kid, one of them. It's a short little fella. And this is Panera. And Panera is like, where did Zanero, Bonero, Gennaro, Dinero, Panero, Bonera, Zanera, Gennaro, and Dinero go? I will go look for him. And I'll be honest, man, because I did this. You know, I did this morning before we were doing that. I was kind of let down because that was it. There was nothing extra. And so the only extra is if you go back to the door right after that, this is how you kind of know you finished it. Well, you got two things, you know, is Zidane now does make a comment. He says, that's one big family. He's like, man, I feel dizzy.
There you go.
Yeah, that's okay, two, so you get a that's comment. That's two of us, pal. Man. Yeah. And then of course, the for sure knowing is that if you do, once you go into the hideout, there is a new chest now on the left that has a protect ring. Oh. So, I mean, obviously the protect ring isn't the prize. The real prize is just kind of going through all that, you know? Really, really kind of interesting, man. Never knew that. Just fantastic little kind of Easter egg.
That is really cool. I didn't know anything about that either. I mean, it's kind of cool that they give you something for it, too. And a protect ring, I mean, like what you said, not a crazy prize, but it's still pretty good. Yep. And you get to see all those scenes, so that's really funny.
Absolutely. And so that was 9 of 9. That is the Nero, or Nero, whatever, side quest. I would highly recommend doing it. It is kind of a pain in the butt, especially, like, you know, you think about this point, we're all the way, you know, we're pretty far into this in Memoria. And so I will say, man, the last few, like 7, 8, 9, you know, heading back and forth, I was like, oh my gosh. And I created a separate save for this. So that way I could just turn on, you know, like all the modifiers to zoom in and out, you know, and it still took me a little while. So it's just, yes, I can see on the original version how very few people probably have ever done this, because that'd probably been like, you know, an additional 40 to an hour, you know, of going back and forth like that.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And the thing is, back before you had like, you know, a guide and things like that, you'd kind of have to guess. So you just head back to Limblum, see if you get a scene.
Yeah, seriously.
All that kind of stuff is crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. I literally have no idea how in the world you would ever know that. But regardless, now we can move on. The next area, once you kind of go through that sideways castle, it's kind of cool, man. There's like a waterfall on the bridge. There is a save point, so, you know, we haven't really encountered one in a little while, and so that's obviously there for you. And this is now when what? Now, we did talk about the Stilva, of course, the Stilva enemy, that is, on the last episode. We skipped the Behemoth because I knew that one, at least, was for fact here. So we'll talk about the Behemoth now, man. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's a pain. I mean, just because of his meteor attack, he's got this counter. I think he uses a counter to physical damage, right? Meteor just sucks. It has really like high damage constant and then some variability around it. So can do a lot of damage, hits all your party members. Other than that, I don't think he's that big of a deal. He just uses this like basic physical attack, which decent amount of damage.
I mean, the fact that he does counter physical damage kind of sucks for me. I was just fleeing from when I encountered. I'm like, man, I just don't even want to deal, because I'm not using Vivi, man. You know, I'm using Zidane, Amarant, and Freya. All I'm doing is physical attacks, and so I could summon with Garnet, you know, and do stuff like that. But I'm like, you know what? I'd flee. It's definitely, I would say they're definitely much easier to fight if you have Vivi in the party.
I would say so too. He's kind of a mainstay party member at this point.
Yeah, exactly. That I'm not using because no kids allowed. All right. So you move across the bridge. I mean, it wouldn't be Final Fantasy IX if we didn't have another hilarious Kena scene. And so here comes Kena swimming, man. She's like, ooh.
Yeah. I love this part. It's just like she's swimming around trying to catch the fish or something like that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I can't breathe. And then Zidane comes walking in and is just like, what are you talking about? I can breathe just fine. And she's swimming around and hilarious scene as usual.
Yeah. Yeah, like what, starts choking and the thing that I think is most funny here is the kind of like Looney Tune situation here where, okay, we know this is all in her mind. Why is she able to swim? Like,
exactly.
There's no actual water. And she's just swimming around. It's like I said, like Looney Tune. It's like when they're running off a cliff and they like stop in the second in air and look down. They're like, oh, crap. It's like what she did. It's like, oh, that's in my mind. And then she floats down to the ground. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm fine now.
Exactly.
What's going on, man? This is hysterical.
Yeah, so I guess apparently, like, whatever you think in memoria, you can actually do.
You can do, yeah.
I don't know.
That's dangerous. Well, if you did not go back to Limbulum for the toll of 9 times now, maybe you missed one or whatever, this is going to be another opportunity. So this is, from here on, we'll just kind of call them, like, total opportunities, I guess. You know, so this is, like, number 10 out of 18. Interesting thing. I did go back because I was like, I'm just curious. This is like, does it end? What happened? You know, is it just not going to be anything? I went to the door. Guess who out came? Well, it was Zanero and Bonero, and they're like, oh, we're looking for Cinna and Marcus. We'll go find them. You know, and I'm like, what the heck happened? Did they just start all the way over again? And so...
Oh, so they all just start looking for each other again.
I don't know, right? So at that point, I was like, dude, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. And so I did not go back again. I actually just turned the game off because I was at the end of my notes. And so I will test it going forward. But if it just goes through it again, it's like, that's kind of lame, you know?
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know why I did it. Maybe it was a glitch, maybe something. I don't know, but it did seem like it's just going to start it all over again. So we'll see. I'll let you all know, but that is your next opportunity. There is kind of a really important part right here, isn't it? Right where we're at. So Kina's swimming around, and we got a little bit of a secret.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys have probably noticed if you play this game, you're at this little spot, you're kind of, you know, used to checking the nooks and crannies for those treasures. Yes. So in this area, there's like... there's a little exclamation mark off to the right in this little kind of area that's hidden by these rocks. But it's not a treasure. It's a secret boss.
Yes.
And it says something along the lines of, if you dare challenge me, da 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 da. Yeah, probably want to be careful with that for right now. At least go safe before you do that. But as far as us talking about it is concerned, we're going to wait on that for just a minute. Because until we... get through this area and beat the final boss.
Of course. Yes. So a little bit of a secret there that we'll get to. Giant clam boss. But after that scene, you, of course, just keep going forward. I mean, you know, as usual. And now we get another kind of really cool kind of setting. You know, it's like a wrapped around staircase in a giant pool of water. And I think it's just Zidane. He's like, you know, why do I know this? That Gaio used to be covered by, what? Water and ocean.
Yeah. And they all kind of have that idea too. Like they all have that memory. I think it's whoever you have in there. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
Like, for example, Freya and Vivi, they're also like, well, I also have this memory. And, you know, I wasn't around back then. So how do I know this? So that's the whole thing that we're trying to get to the bottom of is how the heck did they all have these memories where they weren't there, but they're seeing all these different things, you know, from different party members, experiences, all that kind of stuff. But yes, in general, Gaia did used to be covered by an ocean, and that's what we get from that. That's pretty much all there is there.
Yeah, yeah. And you could head back to Limbulum right now. So this is 11 out of 18. Again, I don't have anything more on you on that. I'll fill you all in. On the next
probably
episode,
just the same thing.
I would imagine it probably just runs through it again, which is kind of weird. But anyways, can't go back now. 11 out of 18. And we are going to go ahead and move on to Seed Trivia before moving any further. Okay, well, here we go. Yet another Seed Trivia. Alex is on his rank 33. It's just going to keep going, guys. I don't know what else to do at this point. I'm giving it all I got. So, I'm running out of ideas, man. The pages are all frayed in these strategy. You know, they're smoking, too. I'm flipping back and forth so much. All right, man. First question is going to be in Final Fantasy VIII. So, in Ethstar, Ward's dress, I'm going to call it dress, dude's wearing a dress, is white and brown.
False.
Doing some basic ones here for you. First, Final Fantasy VII. Cloud's Buster Sword has two holes in it.
True.
All right, Final Fantasy IX. We're not to it yet. We will actually get to this phantom in a moment, but the Dark Phantom only uses Dark Matter and Ozma cards.
Ooh, false.
Okay, Final Fantasy XII. And this is in Zodiac Age, and this is very important, man, so I'm not sure how familiar you are with this, but certain spells, you know, obviously you can't train, you have to find them in treasures, right? So silence can be found at either the Giza Plains during the dry or at Lusu Mines.
True.
Final Fantasy X-2. You can steal a budget grenade from an iron giant.
That's true.
Final Fantasy 13. The Devastation Paradigm. Three-person one. And it is two commanders, one Ravager.
Devastation? False.
All right, and our last question. At home, when you get to home in the story, the only Albed primer is the Volume 20.
False.
All right, let's go over it. So, Final Fantasy VIII in Esther. Ward's dress is white and brown. You said false. It is false. Do you know what color it is?
White and green.
Yep, sure is, my friend.
Right?
All right, don't know how you remember that, but Final Fantasy VII. Cloud's Buster Sword has two holes. You said true. It is true. It's got two little holes. All right, Final Fantasy IX question was, the Dark Phantom only uses Dark Matter and Ozma cards. You said false. I'm pretty sure it's true, man. I'm pretty sure. I looked up the card hands, and they have the card hands for all the characters to play cards. It's crazy. I didn't know that was a thing. And, yep, Dark Matter and Ozma. Interesting.
Really? Just those two?
Apparently so. Yeah, apparently so. I don't, you know, 100% check me on that, but I did look up the hands, and those were the only cards in the Dark Phantom's hand. All right, Final Fantasy XII, the whole silence can be found at either Giza Plains Dry or Lusu Mines. You said true, and it is true. Those are the either or, obviously. And so, yep, gotta find that. All right, Final Fantasy X-2, you can steal a budget grenade from Iron Giant. You said true almost instantly, and it is true. He's balling on a budget, man. He's gotta get those budget grenades. They're a little bit cheaper than regular ones.
It's a horrible steal. That's how I remember that.
You're like, oh, what is this? Final Fantasy 13, the Devastation Paradigm is two commanders, one Ravager. You said false. It is false. But do you know what it is?
See, I was trying to remember aggression.
Well, as far as what that paradigm is, dude, I got no clue. But for Devastation,
that's my guess.
Devastation is two commanders, one Sab. So instead of the Ravager, it's the Sab. So, all right. And our last question was Final Fantasy X. The only Albed primer at home was the Volume 20. You said false. It is false. There's at least one more. I looked at it very quickly, and so there's at least one more. I think Volume 21 and possibly another one. I'm not sure, but regardless, man, you almost did a clean sweep. You only missed one question. So you pass. There you go, pal.
Oh, man. Yeah. Heck yeah, man. Rank 34.
33, pal. Don't get ahead of yourself, all right? So
I was trying to get a cheap one there.
Just for that, we're taking it back. No, I'm just kidding. So, all right. Well, Alex did get his rank 33, which is quite awesome. And we are going to go ahead and get back to Memoria. We go ahead and head up to the top of those stairs at the kind of the little ocean scene or whatever. You instantly get put in a boss battle against the Kraken. The Kraken. So interesting.
Unleash the Kraken.
Yeah, it's he actually looks pretty hysterical in my opinion. If I saw that real, I probably would poop my pants a little bit, but at the same time, you just have to laugh. It's like, what is that thing, man? And
it's like an octopus thing or something.
Well, he can be quite annoying, but just know this going into this battle, anyone listening, is if Iko and Dagger can defeat it alone, then you're going to be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's
don't know how they did that.
I don't know how they did that either, man. Like, oh my gosh. So Steel's right off the bat is 100% is that Genji helmet. So that kind of goes with that Genji armor that we talked about last episode. Definitely not the best, but, you know, the only second set. So that there you go. 25% is wizard robe, so, or rod rather, you know, so I mean, whatever. I don't understand this one bit, man. So I don't get. But 0.39% is, well, it's actually quite good. It's the glutton robe. No, I'm just kidding. Like, what are you doing? The glutton robe for that percentage? So please don't kill yourself trying to get that. Goodness gracious.
But it's such a good robe for Kina.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That is strange. Hysterical. So as far as attacks, this one likes to use freeze quite a bit. It has kind of a weird, this is something interesting that I actually never realized. So I looked it up. The right tentacle and the left tentacle. So you'll notice you've actually got three targets in this battle. The main, like, you know, enemy boss.
Right.
Then the left tentacle, right tentacle. So right tentacle uses water gun, which I think is just water elemental.
Yeah, it's like the damage. It's like one of the first water abilities that Squirtle gets. So it's pretty good.
Right. Yeah, pretty good on that. The left one uses ink gun. I think it's just blind, is all it does.
I think it just blinds. Okay. Yeah.
Anyways, and then the only other things is just freeze. So body temp again is a good thing. And water go, which is a big old magic spell that attacks the entire party. And yes. I'm very, very upset that we don't actually get that spell.
I know,
really
right?
Cheap.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah, and so, well, that's interesting because, you know, I just tried to blast through this fight. I didn't do a whole lot, but let's just, do the tentacles, I mean, can you kill them pretty easily, you know what I mean? Like, do they have low health, do you happen to know?
I don't usually, you know, specifically target the tentacles because they're not that big of a deal, but if you're using a lot of multi-target spells, like maybe Thundaga and the whole crew,
Ramu, or something,
yeah, then that could happen, and then once they're taken out, then it just starts using a bunch of physical, like, leg attack.
Okay.
And can also counter with it. So that one actually sucks pretty bad.
So it might be better maybe to... Awesome. I mean, honestly, you know, blind isn't really that big of a deal. So if you just take out the right tentacle for water gun, then, I mean, you just leave one up. You know, if you so choose. But like you said, I mean, I have never even attacked them once. I just go for the boss because he's really not that hard at all.
Yeah.
The only thing I have for that, and this actually goes for multiple bosses that have already occurred and coming up too, is, oh my gosh, please do not have return magic on for Amaranth.
I've seen that before.
Oh my, it made this, and that was the thing, like, and that's why this boss wasn't that hard. How do I know that? Well, because I wasn't, like, I fought him for like 35 minutes because Amaranth kept countering his water gut with a water gut and it kept healing him for like 6,000. I'm like, dude, stop, man, just stop doing it.
Wow.
It's so
that happens.
Yeah, two steps forward, one step back was that battle. So I would not recommend having return magic on Amaranth for any of these battles, really.
There's an interesting strategy I saw online that you can use. I didn't think about this one. If you do happen to have return magic on someone like Vivi, you can equip magic Elem Null, which I didn't think of, but I guess that just basically makes it so it's non-elemental.
Interesting. Yeah, well.
So... you can
obviously
do that.
Amaranth doesn't have that, but yes, for Vivi, that's much better.
And then if you've got Kina, you can use level 3 defenseless or level 4 holy. So other things I've never done before.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Interesting. So there you go. But like we say, you know, I mean, it's really not that hard at all. I think it's actually one of the easiest ones. So maybe that's why they were able to kill it. But
yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, this is your 12th opportunity to head back to Limblum if you so choose for that side quest. 12 out of 18. So, like I said, we'll just kind of go through those as we go. And moving forward, so this screen's pretty cool, too. I mean, we say that for each one. It's like, oh, this screen's cool.
Yeah.
But it is. It's like, it's just such a strange place, you know? Like, the settings just changes immensely from screen to screen sometimes. And so, this one, it's just got, like, that large, massive broken clock there. And not too much to do here. If you do look around, I think it might be on the right side of the screen. I'm trying to remember. That is where the rare Phantom Card Master is. So just another opportunity for cards.
Yeah, there's like this bridge of broken debris and stuff like that. So you head over there. It's sort of like a little platform. And then there's sort of like these stairs up to the right and it's in one of those nooks back there. So, yeah, another one. And also, one thing, well, actually, we already did mention. So, this is the point where you're going to be encountering a lot of Stilvas and a lot of behemoths.
Yeah. And where you need to go in this area is to the left. So head west from the next zone. And now it's just like a, I don't know, like a giant burning ball. I mean, essentially, it's what Zidane says. And he's like, whoa, that's a huge fireball, which is not the case because Garland pipes in. He's like, hold up there, little pilgrim. He's like, you know, the birth of Gaia, this is what the birth, you know, this is the birth of Gaia. And that happened over 5,000 years ago.
We're kind of going back in time almost, huh?
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of going
Right, because we
further
saw the
back.
assimilation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it kind of looks like a sun and all this stuff. But anyways, basically there's just this is a really simple area. It's just a platform and a giant ladder that goes way the heck up there. So
Yeah. It's yeah, with the fire giant fireball and a little more that Garland does say and explains. He does say, like, you know, this moment that he's talking about, the birth of Gaia, I guess, was the height of Terra's prosperity. So, I mean, we have no idea how, you know, how old Terra is. We can assume a very long time of this is what this planet does, is go, you know, goes and assimilates other planets and stuff. But at this moment was the height of Terra's prosperity. They thought this is a secure, well, that's not how it happened, and so they hurry up and created Garland to, like, yo, handle all this stuff. Again, we know that, you know, he is obviously 5,000 years old about, and so he it's quite old, long time to grow that beard. And so
Yeah, seriously.
after that conversation, don't head up the ladder yet. You want to head back to Limbolum if you need to or whatever. That is your 13th.
Yeah.
So we're at 13 of 18. But once you do, either get back or just climb up the ladder, you get to a platform. Now this platform's quite important because if you want Doomsday, you might want to look around.
Yep, so right on the left. And it's a really small platform. You can't really miss it as long as you're checking the
Yeah.
corners. So right on the left, you're gonna find the Mace of Zeus, and this is Vivi's ultimate weapon.
Oh
It's pretty
yes.
awesome. And
Which
yeah, like Mark said, it's got Doomsday on it, so.
yeah. Real awesome. And you know, you'll have an opportunity to test that out in a moment if you so choose. But on the right side, so that was like kind of on the left like top corner, I guess you could say. On the right corner is where, as we just talked about, Sea Trivia is that dark phantom. He is not a very nice phantom. He will scream at you. So if you talk to him, he's gonna yell in all caps at you. So just letting you know that. But yeah, pretty interesting stuff. So obviously, the only other thing to do is to climb up that ladder. You kind of go into this building. It's really interesting, man. I like this because it's like I don't the architecture of it, because you climb up to it, it's really cool looking. I don't know what it's supposed to be. And then, of course, you get in the room and it's just like a bunch of doors.
Yeah.
And I think you do have control. So I think you move forward and either maybe to the top door, or maybe you just move forward. And then it like shatters. And then it's like you're like in the cosmos or something, man. It's like it's insane. So, and then, yes. So, I mean, it's an awesome thing. You know, we can look around, but you actually can't really look around because you are instantly put in to a boss battle against none other than the Lich, which. You see, and I'm like,
Yeah, we know this one.
oh, hi there, pal. Yeah. You know, it's interesting
Yeah.
because he doesn't say anything to Zidane. You think he would, right? So it's almost as if, like, you know, we defeated the
Yeah.
Guardians originally, and maybe these are like copies of them or something. You know, I'm not too sure, but it's just
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt a little snubbed that he didn't acknowledge me because I kind of kicked his butt. You know, and so it's just, you
Would have
know,
been nice.
yeah, it would have been nice to be acknowledged, but. The steals for him
Yeah.
are pretty, I don't know, they're as usual as, I guess, subpar in here. But 100%
So,
is Genji Gloves, so again, we're kind of just completing that second set. If you want it, that would be the last item. And then 25% is the Siren's Flute, and then 6.25% is Black Ropes. So, I mean, honestly, get the Genji Gloves,
that's
and I
not
wouldn't
very
even
good.
worry about the other two things.
Exactly. And then his attacks are pretty much exactly the same. That's what's kind of weird. Like, the last one is the dude that we've already fought, so we pretty much know what the dealio is.
Yeah.
And you could probably have guessed that that was going to be the case because we've already fought the other three. So, anyways, level 5 death, straight up death. Got Death Cutter, which is the Doom attack, Stop, Venom, and of course his Earthquake and Earthshake attacks and
Right.
all that kind of stuff. So.
Dude's all about death, man. Yeah, so I mean, obviously, level 5 death
Yeah, he
is
is.
the big one to kind of just look at your character's level. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's. It's just one of those things. It's probably very unlikely that all four of your characters would be divisible by five at any given time, but yeah, I don't know. Just in case the stars aligned for you there, like, you will get an instant game over if that's the case. And then, yeah, just, I mean, Death Cutter is an interesting one. I think it does do a little bit of damage, and then it can apply Doom, or it does apply Doom. So I don't think there's anything you can do about that, right? I mean, it's Doom.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about that, but not a big deal if it's just one character.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. And so if you just want to deal with the Earth-based attacks, I mean, you already know Feather Boots, some of the other few items, like maybe Gaia Gear or something, I'm trying to remember, that reduce Earth damage. Easy again, though. I mean, and I'm saying easy, but then again, you know, yes, keep in mind, I have followed our guide that we have laid out this whole entire time, so naturally I'm a god in this, and I have everything. So, you know, pretty easy, you know, if you guys are as good as me. But you can head back to Limblum, so we're at 14 of 18. So many opportunities. And so after you do defeat them, and maybe head back or not, you do have a tent and save point on the left. I think it is a full-on...
Yeah.
Actually, I don't remember if it's a bubble or if it's just one of the invisible ones. Probably want to maybe save it.
It's one of the invisible ones, I think.
It is? Okay. And so probably save it, use a tent, whatever. And then also, well, if you went for it, the whole prize here is waiting for you.
Yeah, this is a really iconic place. So basically, off to the right, if you were able to get to this point in the game in less than 11 hours, then you get basically the best weapon in the whole game, which is the Excalibur 2 for Steiner.
Yes.
So we might have to talk about that a little bit in the side quest portion, because there's a lot to be said with it, and there's a lot of different strategies. But basically what's really funny is if you do happen to get there in time, you get like a little note. It's to Gilgamesh. And it's saying along the lines of, like, I know you've been looking for all these swords. I found this one, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of cool.
That is
but,
really
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, Excalibur 2 is epic.
Do you know what the attack power is on that? I know Ultima Weapon is 100. So I was trying to think what... I've never even looked at it. I mean, naturally, I didn't get
Excalibur 2. I think it's 120.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy,
I think
man.
I think it's 120. Goodness. It's definitely more than Ultima Weapon.
Yeah. That's awesome. So yeah, if you were a boss and you got that, congrats. I probably never will myself, but you know, that's okay. I'm living through all of you who have gotten it. And well, that is Memoria. We would move forward, but we'd move on to the last area of the game. So we are not going to do that. We are going to pause right here, and we are absolutely going to, well, I'd imagine we're going to hit up the bosses and all that kind of stuff in the next episode. We thank you all for hanging out with us. We're so glad that you found the podcast and or enjoy it as much as we love putting out these episodes. You can stop off at FinalStopFinalFantasyTalks.com. It's just our website. We have some cool website stuff there, I guess. And also we have an Instagram, same handle as the podcast name. You know, just same old thing that we've been saying for 40 episodes now. So we are very excited to be wrapping up Final Fantasy IX. We do have a surprise for you all for that last episode coming your way in a couple of weeks. And as a disclaimer, too, just as I'm sure you've all noticed, Alex did move.
Yeah.
It's just so kind of is what it is right now. It's a situation that's just going to be for a little bit here. So
yeah, we were trying to figure out, like... I guess a way to deal with it, like a good place
in my new
spot to actually set up for the microphone and all that kind of stuff. But unfortunately, it's just on a busy intersection, so we're just going to have to kind of deal with it for a little bit. So
yes, so we do apologize for the background noise, but you know what? That's just life. It happens. I tried to tell him to buy a studio, but he wouldn't listen to me. So anyways, no, I'm just kidding. Sound studio. But that was just our disclaimer. So we do, like I said, do apologize for, but you know, it's cool. It's whatever. But that will do it for us. We thank you so much, and we'll catch you next time. I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.